Last week, we were in Proverbs 9, and we got all the way to verse 12. And so if you'll turn to Proverbs 9, 12, we'll pick it up there. Let me read a few verses to give you the context there, and we'll get into chapter 10 a little bit as well. It says, "If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. A foolish woman is clamorous, she is simple, and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house, on a seat in the high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell." There. And so we go back to verse 12, and of course the last several chapters we've been looking at, it has been a call from wisdom and a call from foolishness. And in chapter 7 particularly, the Lord pictured that foolishness as a foolish woman who calls out to simple-minded men trying to draw them away. And in the same manner, wisdom is calling out. And so we know that there are two ways. There's the way to heaven and the way to hell. There's God's way and the devil's way, the right way, the wrong way, the way of darkness, the way of light. You know, and we're being pulled each of those ways. Satan and his crowd and our own sinful flesh, can't just blame Satan, it's us too. You know, it pulls us to the wrong way. But God and his word, they speak to our hearts and pulling us as well. And so this is battle going on for our hearts. There's this battle going on for our minds, battle going on for our souls. And wisdom keeps calling to us, and foolishness keeps calling to us. And we have to make these choices. And that's what the whole book of Proverbs is about, wisdom and making choices that's honoring to God. And when we make choices that are honoring to God, they're actually in our own best interest. You know, and so whenever we do things that are right and make those right choices that honor God, we're really doing what's best for us. But if we listen to the flesh will try to convince us that our way is best. And that's Satan. He's a master deceiver there. So everything we do, whichever way we choose, it affects self. And that's what verse 12 is telling us. It says, if thou be wise, you'll be wise for yourself. If you make the right choices and listen to the call of wisdom, it'll be good for you. It'll be for yourself. But on the other hand, verse 12, if thou scornest, if you listen to the foolish calling to you, then you'll bear it alone. You'll suffer yourself there. And so the decisions we make will either help us or hurt us. We are constantly telling that to young people. You know, you have a right to choose, but you can't choose the consequences. But you know, the lesson is not just for young people, is it? It applies to us as well, choices we make. And so there are consequences, and we make wise choices, we get good results. We make foolish choices, we get foolish results. Verse 13 says, a foolish woman is clamorous. The word clamorous means loud. And so in chapter 7, we saw the immoral woman that was calling out to the simple-minded people to draw them away. But now he's not talking about the immoral woman. He's talking about the foolish woman. And wisdom calls out to gain followers. Folly calls out to gain followers there. And so we choose if we're going to follow wisdom or we're going to follow folly there. Those are the two choices. Then it goes on to talk about this foolish woman in verse 14. It says, she sits at the door of her house and on a seat in the high places of the city. And so this foolish woman, she can be at home. She can even be in a place of honor and authority. That's what the high places of the city there. And high elected officials can be foolish as we have witnessed quite a bit, like the one woman who was going to vote, she said, I always vote for the most wicked person there is, because I know once they get into politics, they're going to be ruined. I hate to see a good man be ruined, so I don't vote for the good ones there. I'm not suggesting that we do that by any means, but there's too much truth in that statement that oftentimes they are corrupted once they get into politics. That's why I'm so thankful for those who are able to maintain a testimony for Christ even in the midst of a crooked Washington, D.C. setting there. Now, going to verse 14 again, it says, she sits at the door of her house and on the seat in the high places of the city. And this foolishness that is there is everywhere. It says in verse 15, to call passengers who go right on their way. So she's sitting there calling out to people that go by. That's what the word passengers, not people in their cars or buses, when this was written there. And so here, foolishness is calling out, and wisdom is calling out, and foolish thinking, it's everywhere, isn't it? And if you go over to Romans chapter 16 for just a minute, the Bible tells us that there's a lot of foolish thinking and that we need to avoid foolish thinking. If we're going to avoid it, we have to know if it's foolish or not. How do you determine if it's foolish thinking or wise thinking? Well, in Romans 16, verse 17 and 18, he says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine that you've learned, and avoid them. So those kinds of doctrine and teachings that are foolish, that are contrary to what you've been taught, avoid those kinds of teachings. Verse 18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches they'll deceive the hearts of the simple. Good words and fair speeches. Here's this clamorous woman that's pictured here. She's calling out to the simple. She says, come and follow me. You know, and it's so deceptive there, and so much folly. Matt shared with me earlier today that one of our recent graduates, graduated in May, is now working for Buffalo Wild Wings. And he and a coworker today were discussing the Constitution. What a wonderful topic for two people 19 years old to be discussing. Unless you're at work and your employer writes you up and tells you that you're not allowed to discuss the Constitution because it's offensive. And he got written up. He didn't lose his job because he was discussing the Constitution. Foolishness. Isn't that foolish? Why in America is it wrong to discuss the Constitution there? Well, anyway, that's I was encouraged a little bit that here's one of our graduates that he took the time to text Matt and let him know that there. And so he knew that it was wrong. I was glad to see people talking about the Constitution, know something about it there. So anyway, if you want to boycott Buffalo Wild Wings, it's okay with me. All right, well, to go to the next verse. There are better wings in town than other places anyway, aren't they? Notice that phrase in verse 15, they go right on their way. It sounds like Southern language, but that's not exactly what it means. We use that kind of talk around here, don't we? Going right on his way. The phrase there, the word right, has to do with being level or straight. And we have a lot of sayings in our vernacular that has this expression with something being straight. We use the expression, walk the straight and narrow. That means to do what's right there. Sometimes we see the expression standing straight and tall. And that kind of has the idea of the right idea of pride, you know, having that right pride attitude in what you're doing, taking pride in your work or whatever. Sometimes you hear somebody say, straight from the horse's mouth there. You get it, you know, right from the source. or somebody says, you need to shoot straight with me. That means be on the level. Be honest. Did any of your parents ever tell you, you better straighten up? And what do we mean? You know, well, quit walking a crooked way. And so here when it says to call passengers who are going straight, people that are trying to walk the straight and narrow, people that are trying to straighten up and do right, this clamorous woman is calling out to them, trying to get them off the straight path, trying to get them to walk a crooked way. Verse 16 says, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And so this simple person is the one in Proverbs that's easily persuaded. He's easily enticed. He's easily seduced. And so since they're so easily influenced, we need to do all we can using the wisdom of God's word to try to persuade them to Christ, because Satan is trying to persuade them as well. And so the goal are these simple-minded people that are easily influenced there. And so children are usually simple-minded. And so isn't it a wonderful thing that we have opportunity to take children when they're just 3 and 4 and 5 and, you know, even up through elementary school when they're still simple-minded, and we're able to impart to them wisdom and let wisdom call out to them, so when they're simple-minded, before they get their minds so filled with the foolish thinking of the world, that we can have an impact on their lives. What a wonderful ministry we have at the school to be able to do that. So wisdom calls out. Foolishness, in verse 16, calls to the simple and says, whoso is simple, let him turn in here. And as for him that wanteth or lacketh understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet. He lacks understanding, so she says, you want some sweet waters? There, when something is stolen, there's obviously deception involved in it. Somebody's taking something without someone's knowledge, and they're deceiving them by taking what's theirs. Well, foolishness is being deceptive and says stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret there. Think you're going to get away with it. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. And so here this foolishness is offering bread and water. We looked at that verse very briefly last week because we were comparing it to verse 2. When wisdom cries out, wisdom offers a furnished table. It says, she hath killed her beast, speaking of wisdom. She's mingled her wine. She has furnished her table. Wisdom offers a wonderful buffet, but foolishness offers bread and water, stolen water, for that matter, there. And so Satan can take something that is so plain, bread and water, and present it to a simple-minded person, and they just fall in love with it. They think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. It is sliced bread. I don't know what the greatest thing was before sliced bread. But anyway, Satan offers these things to us, and if we're foolish-minded, we'll be attracted to them. Verse 18, the person without understanding who listens to this call, it says, he knoweth not that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. And so we have these choices every day. Wisdom calls to us. Folly calls to us. One is going to lead to a banquet table. One's going to lead to bread and water. It's like you're in prison, isn't it? Well, in prison anymore, they get more than bread and water, don't they? They get quite a bit more than that. But the call is there for us to answer the wisdom's call or the call of foolishness. He knoweth not that the dead are there and that her guests are the depths of hell. Can you imagine going into someone's house? They invite you over, say, hey, can you come over for supper Friday night? And you get over there, and they bring out a plate of light bread and water. And here you are, a guest in their house, and they're giving you bread and water. It's not a very nice way to treat a guest, is it? Well, that's what deception does. It makes you think that what you're getting is a whole lot more than bread and water, and it actually leads to death and hell. And so whenever a person rejects wisdom, the person is rejecting Christ, because he has made unto us wisdom. When a person rejects wisdom, they are rejecting the Bible. Whenever a person rejects wisdom, they are rejecting eternal life and choosing hell. And who in their right mind would say, no, I don't want eternal life, I want hell, I want destruction, I want death? Nobody in their right mind. They're simple-minded, and they're easily persuaded. And that's why we need to be wise within the Scriptures there. We are in God's family. Verse 18 talks about guests. We're not guests at God's dining table. We're family. And so Satan's crowd cries out to guests to come and get some bread and water that's stolen. And wisdom cries out to us as the family of God. And his truth sets us free. And we have a banquet table of blessings for all eternity when we follow wisdom. Now we go into chapter 10. And the Proverbs of Solomon, it says in verse 1, a wise son maketh a glad father. But here's the opposite. A foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. And so here's the two choices we have, making choices of wisdom, making choices of foolishness. Remember that if we're wise, we're wise unto ourselves. If we're foolish, we're going to bear that consequence as well. But not only does it affect the wise person or the foolish person, it also affects others. It says a wise son, when he makes these wise choices, he makes his father glad. And we know what it's like to have, you know, a son or a daughter that you're proud of because they have served the Lord and they're doing what's right. When we train them, train up a child in the way he should go, and we know what it's like. We've seen it, some of you personally, and some have observed it in others. But the opposite also, a foolish son, one who listens to the call of the clamorous, loud woman or the foolish woman who goes the way of foolishness, it's a heaviness that is, it's just a continual burden to the mother. You know how mothers are about their children. No matter how old children get, they're still your babies, aren't they? Right, mamas? they're still, you know, they just never outgrow that. And so when our children make foolish choices, it's a heaviness. How many parents do you know that have prayed and prayed for years for their children to get saved and serve the Lord? Because that the burden is there for them there. Verse 2 says, treasures of wickedness profit nothing. Nothing. What shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? What does he profit? Nothing. That's what verse 2 says. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The word delivereth is a Hebrew word that means to snatch away. There's a Greek word that's used very similar to this in the New Testament. It means to snatch away, and that's where we get the word rapture from. The word rapture, as you know, I mentioned Sunday night, is not in the Bible, but the Bible talks about a snatching away. Whenever the Lord comes back, he's going to snatch us away, and we're going to be caught up in an instant. And here it says righteousness snatches somebody from the claws of death, from the claws of destruction, because foolishness is calling and appealing and making bread and water look like a banquet table and deceiving many people. But those who follow after righteousness are snatched from death. Verse 3 of chapter 10. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked there. Famish means go hungry. Do genuine believers go hungry somewhere in the world? You try to justify that, you know. It says the Lord doesn't let them go hungry. But yet we know that there are some people that are genuinely saved that are hungry. Well, the word here is soul. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to go hungry. God takes care of his own. And though there may be physical hunger in the world, even among believers, the Lord makes sure that our souls are fed. He gives us everything that we need. Verse 4, he becomes poor that deals with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. And we need to learn to be diligent people. Regardless of how hard a task may be, we need to be diligent. Faith is important too. But faith is not an excuse not to be diligent, because the Bible says we mix faith and works. Without works, our faith is dead. And so we're to be diligent. In other words, as one person said, we're to work like everything depends on us. And we're to pray like everything depends on God. And diligence, God honors that. Verse 5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. So gathering when there's opportunity to gather. Hold your place there and go over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Can you think of a son that causes shame? We're going to look at one in 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's a son of the in the faith, not a physical son. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, Paul writing to Timothy, he says, I'm in chapter 2, no wonder that doesn't look right. Chapter 4, verse 10. He says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed from Thessalonica and Crescens to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. He says, Demas has departed from me. And so as the foolish things of the world were calling out, Demas answered the things that were foolish. And now as Paul is naming him, and these 2,000 or so years later, we look at the shame on Demas because he made a foolish choice. Now we go back to Proverbs chapter 10, and he says, he that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causes shame. And that's what Demas caused Paul whenever he was not diligent to the task that was before him. Verse 6, blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked there. And so there are benefits when we do what is just or right. These blessings, they're on our head, but violence, that is oppression or injustice, it covers the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, verse 7, but the name of the wicked shall rot. And again, think back to Paul and Demas there when it says the memory of the just is blessed. When Paul is talking about Demas, he's not speaking of Demas in with a blessed memory that he has of him. He's saying he's forsaken me. And there's shame that goes with that because of the choice that he made. And this whole long passage, we've seen chapters of it wisdom and foolishness, which you're going to choose. Every day they're laid out there for us, choice after choice after choice for us to make, that's either a wise choice or a foolish choice. Now, going to verse 9. I skipped a verse 8. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. Now, we're going to talk about the mouth in just a minute, but now we see the heart, because there's such a connection there with the heart and the mouth. This prating fool, that word prating means literally, if we were to translate that, it would be a word mouth fool. It's a fool that has words in his mouth all the time. He's just always talking here, and that's called a prating fool in verse 8, and he's going to fall. In other words, if you give him enough rope, he's going to hang himself. If he keeps talking, the more and more he talks, the more chance there is of sin. So verse 9 says, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. Again, be sure your sin will find you out. Verse 10, he that winketh with his eye causes sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. There's that phrase again. He that winketh with his eye. You ever seen someone do that? I want to ask you if you've ever done that. You tell somebody something and you wink when you say it. And why do you do that? Because you know what you're saying is a lie. And you're aware that it's a lie. And that's why they wink to someone or telling someone else a lie. And so they're aware of what they're doing. And that's what it's talking about here, the deception. He that winks with the eye causes sorrow. And that's what deception and lying does. Verse 11 says, the mouth of the righteous man is a well of life. And if you like to draw circles and lines, go back to verse 8, the wise in heart. Now the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked there. And so here, the mouth of the righteous, unlike the prating fool, the prating fool had a mouth full of what? Words. Here, the wise man is full of life, not full of words. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. And so words are important. But a prating fool, he just has the words and he doesn't have anything to back it up. But a person who is a righteous person has the right kind of heart, and coming out of that heart are right words, encouraging words, words that don't bring about sorrow, like verse 10, but words that bring about life instead of violence. Verse 12, wrap it up here in a few minutes. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covereth all sins. Love covers all sins. So does that mean if we love others, it will atone for the sinful things that we do? No, we can't atone for our own sins by our love. Here it's talking about love and forgiveness when it talks about covering sins. It says hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. And so then the scripture is equating hatred with not forgiving. A person who loves forgives. A person who hates doesn't. When we love someone, we're going to cover up the sin. It's not like the phrase a cover up. We're not trying to hide it, but we're trying to put it away, as the Lord does with our sin. So hatred stirs up strife there. And our love for other people should cause us to want to cover up their sins and not let it continually harm them like our sin does to us. If it's continually exposed, we want the Lord to forgive us. And an unforgiving heart can cause strife, it tells us in verse 12. It stirs up strife. Verse 13, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. So wisdom needs to be shared. Talks about the lips here in verse 13. And so God gives us wisdom. We need to take the wisdom and help others who are simple-minded, who might be easily swayed by foolish calls, and we need to give them the words of wisdom. Now, it's up to that person to decide which way they're going to go. But we can be used of God to give them wise counsel. And sometimes, for some people, the rod is needed for the back. This, of course, refers to corporal punishment. And corporal punishment can sometimes help educate people, can't they? You've received education, probably most, if not all of you, have received some kind of education from corporal punishment at one time or another. It helps us to learn. Let's look at verse 14 and we'll stop with that one. Wise men, they lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Laying up knowledge. The Bible talks about in the New Testament about laying up treasures in heaven. Well, we also need to lay up knowledge. Knowledge is important. God's Word is full of knowledge. And it's important for us to study God's Word and to have the knowledge of God's Word. The mouth of the foolish, the Bible says they'll give an account for every idle word. Let me share two other verses with you before we stop here. From Matthew 12:36. He says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Words are pretty important, aren't they? By your words you're going to be justified. By your words you're going to be condemned. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart. So the words are important. And so there are words of wisdom that call out to us. The words of foolishness that call out to us. And God gives us his Holy Spirit to help us to know which ones are wise and which are foolish. And then we need to have the spiritual fortitude to make sure that we choose the path of righteousness and the banquet table that the Lord has for us and not the bread and water that Satan offers to us and binds us up in prison and leads us in darkness. Okay, let's pray. Our Father, thank you for your word, which is indeed wisdom for us. Lord, there's so much foolishness in the world today, and there's so much foolishness within each heart. Even after we're saved, we know that the sinful heart is still within us. And if we're not careful, we can fall to being simple-minded and allow the calls of loud and clamorous sinful things to draw us away from the path of Christ. So help us to walk after wisdom, to seek it from you, even as Solomon did, because you give to all who ask. You give liberally, and you don't upbraid us for asking. So help us to walk after wisdom, because we know not only does it honor you when we make wise choices, but it also is in our best interest as well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.